Now, in chapter 2, we begin now the building of the temple. And we find here Solomon determined to build a house for the name of the Lord and a house for the kingdom. Solomon told out 70,000 men to bear burdens, 80,000 to hew in the mountains, 3,600 to oversee them. Now, the temple that David had set up to build, the blueprints all laid out. Now, Solomon begins the organization to build the temple. Now, this is the part of the reign of Solomon that God emphasizes. Nothing else but this. We read, "And Solomon went to Hiram, the king of Tyre, saying, As thou didst deal with David, my father, did send him cedars to build him a house to dwell therein, even so deal with me." Hiram loved David. David loved Hiram. And on that basis, Solomon appeals to him. Now, Solomon had problems with Hiram. Or, let me turn it around, I think Hiram had problems with Solomon. He had been very generous with David. But he finds that Solomon is difficult to deal with. Verse 4, "Behold, I build a house to the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense, and for the continual showbread, for the burnt offering morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, on the solemn feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel." And you can just put that down. And there's been criticism of why the sacrifices will be restored in the millennium. Because God ordained it. That is answer enough. But of course, they will be meaningful. They'll point back, I think, to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus. Now, verse 5, "And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods." What is it that makes a thing great? What makes a man great? What makes a nation great? What makes a church great? God, my friend. And that is something else we're losing sight of today. Now I'm reading verse 6. "But who is able to build him an house, seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn sacrifice before him?" Now, sacrifice was the approach that they made to God. The only way that you and I can come to God today is through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the important thing to note here, though, is that Solomon had no misgivings as to who God was and whether God would occupy and live in that house. I read an article not long ago about where a theologian has made the statement that what Solomon was attempting to do was build a little house and put God in a box, and that the people had an idea that God could be put in a box and that he could be held there. May I say to you that Solomon had no conception like that at all, neither did the people. They're much farther advanced than I think a great many folk are today, even in our churches. A great many people call the church God's house. Well, God doesn't occupy a house, never did. Now, the temple was a place to make sacrifices. It was a place of approach to God. That was the important thing, and it had to be worthy of him. It was highly ornate, beautiful, and as we said last time, that we have now what we believe is an accurate picture of Herod's temple, which was built similar to that one. However, it was much larger, and it was built of white marble, never really completed, but the model I saw in Jerusalem, I think probably, is quite accurate. Now, it's not very large itself compared to other buildings of that day. For instance, the Temple of Diana in Ephesus and the pyramids. You put the temple that Solomon built down by the side of either one of them, it was very small. It'd be a pygmy. It would look like a Mickey Mouse affair. But it made up for it in wealth. The tremendous amount of gold and silver and precious stones that went into it. Now, we need to note that And David had gathered together all of this wealth, and we're to see something about it later on. Verse 7, "Send me now, therefore, a man cunning to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in iron and in purple and crimson and blue, and that can skill to grave with the cunning men that are with me in Judah and in Jerusalem, whom David my father did provide." You see, they had to get the skilled workmen from the outside. Israel had turned to agriculture. God intended them to be an agricultural people, and they were in that day. And the interesting thing is, when they go back to that land today, I travel from one end of it to the other, all the way from the Dead Sea to the Mediterranean Sea. And they are given over to agriculture today. And some of the finest farms I've ever seen are in that land. I do not believe there's land anywhere any richer than the Valley of Esdraelon, where Megiddo is. It is certainly a rich country. Now, the nation Israel at this time did not have artificers or artisans, and they had to call upon Hiram for that. And Solomon says, "Send me also cedar trees, fir trees." These cedar trees were the cedars of Lebanon, and algum trees out of Lebanon, for I know that thy servants can skill to cut timber in Lebanon. And behold, my servants shall be with thy servants. In other words, they're to learn from these people. Now he says, verse 9, "Even to prepare me timber in abundance, for the house which I am about to build shall be wonderful great." It was not large, but great. "Behold, I'll give to thy servants, the hewers that cut timber, 20,000 measures of beaten wheat." Now, there was a misunderstanding relative to that amount that Solomon was to pay later on. But apparently, a great deal of wealth was to go into this. Now, verse 11, "Then Hiram the king of Tyre answered in writing, which he sent to Solomon, because the Lord hath loved his people, he hath made thee king over them. Hiram said, moreover, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, that made heaven and earth, who hath given to David the king a wise son, endued with prudence and understanding, that might build a house for the Lord and a house for the kingdom. And now I've sent a cunning man, endued with understanding of Hiram my father." And then he goes on to describe this one that he's sending. Now we find in verse 17, "And Solomon numbered all the strangers that were in the land of Israel, after the numbering wherewith David his father numbered them, and they were found 150,000, 3,600. He set 70,000 of them to be bearers of burden." These were to be helpers, you see. These were to be the ones that would help the stonemasons and so on.